I am excited about what we're studying. I have spent the last 3 weeks just kind of going over things myself. Some of this I have taught before. A lot of this I have not, which makes it fun for me because I'm getting to learn more too as I go through this. I want to talk just a bit about the recording. I don't think so highly of myself that I think, oh my goodness, I should record myself and make this available to the world. That's not my goal at all. What really started this is that there were a couple people from this class that came forward and said, is there any way to record this? Because I'm going to have to miss some weeks and I want to be able to keep up and I want to be able to learn. So my organization has the equipment to be able to do it. So I got to thinking and thought, well, let's do it. Let's just get it recorded. And then the Lord began showing me more of how he wants to use this, which is going to be posted on the Foundation website so that people all over the world can be learning about the Holy Spirit. Because I agree with Peter. I really believe the Holy Spirit is kind of treated as the distant third cousin, maybe the black swan of the Trinity. Grossly misunderstood, a bit eerie, mystery-like, and I would agree, he is certainly like that. He blows my mind on a daily basis. However, I think it's really important for us to spend some time learning about him because he is an equal part of the Trinity. You know, I think a lot of times we think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Like there's this hierarchy kind of thing. But biblically, when you look at it, it is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's not a chain command kind of a deal. Now, they certainly have roles and they have different purposes and they work together. But there's a much more level appearance to all of them biblically than there is this way. And so that's one of the things I want to shatter in our minds right away is this up and down vertical view of the Trinity. I want us to understand that it's much more horizontal and really probably more like this. Much more circular, entwined, all working together. So let's get into this. The divine qualities of the Holy Spirit. You know, what makes the Holy Spirit holy? What makes him divine? One of the first ways is that he is eternal. And I don't know about you, but eternity kind of messes with my mind. Because eternity is forever, and then when we get to the end of forever, it's still going. Like, I can't wrap my mind around that. But would you all turn to Genesis 1, 1 through 2? And I will say this too. I study from the NASB version. I preach from NIV, but I study from NASB. So any of the handout things that you see where I have a verse scripted out, it's most likely NASB because it's just a great, great study Bible to use. But would one of you read Genesis 1, 1 through 2? Now think about this, guys. The Holy Spirit was there before anything was ever created, hovering over this mass that God was speaking into being. The Spirit was there. Before time started, he's there. Would someone jump to Hebrews 9:14? Who through the eternal Spirit. I love it when the Bible defines itself. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is eternal, and here's a verse to prove it. I love the way that God works that way for us. But yeah, I mean, to think about this, that from the very beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. That through the very end, all the workings of Christ, everything, the Holy Spirit is there and is there for us. He's also omnipresent, everywhere. And that's another one that baffles my mind. When it takes me 2 days plus to get to the other side of the planet, how can the Spirit possibly be everywhere? But how cool that he is. How cool that I can be praying for someone on the other side of the planet and it meets their needs immediately of what they need. And that leads to why God asked me to pray for that. Would someone read Psalm 139, 7 through 10? I love that. If anywhere I go. Now, I honestly, in reading this verse before, I always interpreted that as wherever I am, God is always there. Which is true. But I never really noticed, where can I go from your presence, your Spirit? You cannot get away. And that demonstrates that omnipresent nature of this part of the Trinity, this person of the Trinity. Anywhere we go, he is there. He is God. But he's also named as the Spirit here. Where can I flee from your spirit? Where can I go from your presence? He's always there. Matthew 28, 20b. Actually, just read all of 28, 20. Now, let's think about this for a second. So, Jesus has died on the cross, resurrected, ascended into heaven. How can he be with us everywhere, even to the end of the age? How's he pulling that off? It's through his Holy Spirit. He is dwelling within us. His Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. Which, again, if he is with us from the time that Jesus said that to even the point that we may not even be surviving, does that mess with your mind at all?
Yes.
Because it should. This is the Holy Spirit and the God that we serve that is everywhere, inside every single believer, from before we came along until after we are long gone. That just blows my mind. For the sake of the recording, what he brought up was that the verse prior to this 20b in Matthew is talking about the Great Commission and how the Holy Spirit is named with the Father and the Son, which is key because that also shows the Trinitarian nature of the Holy Spirit because it is the three of them in one. So we're gonna go a little more in depth into that here in a bit. So excellent. Holy Spirit is also omniscient, all-knowing. Would one of you turn to John 16:13? Now, I don't know about you, but this was like the ultimate mind blower for me this week. That the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own. That he speaks on behalf of the Father and the Son. So he's not got his own agenda. It's always in concert with what the Father and the Son are doing. Again, we've got this molding together of this triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all working together. So here's the Holy Spirit that is the mouthpiece for the Father and the Son, which makes him all-knowing because if he is speaking what God, who is all-knowing, and Jesus, who is all-knowing, if he's speaking on behalf of them and he knows what they're thinking and what they're doing, and then he reveals that to us as believers, do I actually trust the voice of the Lord enough to know that that's an all-knowing voice? I got to be honest with you. I struggle with that, you know, because I'm very quick and skeptical to, and all right, God, was that you? Was that not you? Was that my mind? Was that your mind? Which we need to be discerning that way. We've got to think through those things. But when I do come to the conclusion of, no, that is God speaking this, do I actually trust in it enough because of him being an all-knowing God and an all-knowing voice of God? Can't say I always get there. And that's one of the struggles that we all face, that we are so quick to accept Satan as an all-knowing and blame him for everything when he is not an omnipresent, he's not omnipresent, he is not all-knowing, he's not all-powerful. But we a lot of times hand that over to him instead of really giving the true all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful triune God the credit. That is huge. Well, and I firmly believe as we begin to learn more about the Holy Spirit and begin to hear and understand his voice and his purposes, you will watch the enemy's plans crumble before you. Because the Holy Spirit will go and tattle on the devil a lot. And I've seen that happen. And there have been times in my life where I have specifically prayed, Lord, reveal the plans of the enemy to me so that we can make the proper plans. And I'll tell you, I've even prayed, give me x-ray vision so I can see him hiding in the bush. And I have had that happen. There have been times that I have walked down a road and I know we've got a problem right here. This is the source of the problem. I don't know what's going on in that house. I don't know what's going on. I just know that is where the problem is. And I would begin to target my prayers to that particular house. And in the point of my life that I was doing this, I actually got to lead them to the Lord in my living room. It was pretty fun. But as we begin to trust that voice of the Holy Spirit and recognize him as the all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God, then the enemy really can't stand up against that. And we actually begin to function and flow more as we're supposed to, as God designed us to. 2 Corinthians 2:10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Now, I don't know if you've ever tested the depth of God, but I have yet to find the bottom. How deep is God? Unsearchable and bottomless depth of God. And yet the Holy Spirit is aware of that and searches it and, again, reveals it to us as we need it. That means he knows everything, which if he searches all things, even the depths of God, and there are other verses that talk about him searching our hearts and minds, which frankly scares the snot out of me, because if he's searching me and he is searching God, wow, is he going to find the inadequacy of me, you know, but through the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, it just, ugh. Then we get to the all-powerful nature of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11, and then someone else please turn to 1 Peter. What is that verse telling you guys? The explosive power of God living within us. I like that. No question about resurrection. The Spirit of God raised Christ from the dead, and that is what lives in us. So how come we don't just walk around and like walls blow down in front of us? I mean, think about that. If this is the all-powerful God that is dwelling inside of us, this is the same Spirit who rose Christ from the dead. Is there anything more powerful than someone raising someone from the dead? I mean, that's dwelling inside of us. And how often do we actually ponder that, lest give it credit? We don't give it place in our life. Which is funny because we have sometimes, we being a dean, the evangelist that I work with, and I have sometimes said that, you know, your pre-Jesus life, when you get saved, it's like you have a whole new operating system that comes in. So it's kind of funny that you bring it up that way. But it is true. The power of the Spirit can either blow out every circuit in our body, which it should, to be honest with you. Our flesh is supposed to die. So the work of the Spirit should be burning some stuff up in our lives. But it can also empower us and bring us to a higher speed than we've ever been. Yeah, we function in a realm of weakness instead of functioning in the realm of power that God has given us. That God-ordained authority that God has given us. Because, you know, Jesus very clearly said, all authority that I have, I'm giving to you. And greater things you will do. You know, we have that. And it's not to be a showy, flashy, I got the Spirit of God, so you better watch out. I mean, that was kind of one of the problems in the 1 Corinthians church, which we're going to talk about in a number of weeks. They went into the realm of flashiness, and I have this gift and you don't, and therefore I am better than you. Well, that's not what the Spirit is supposed to be doing at all. Actually, the Spirit is supposed to unite us and empower us to actually get along and be that witness for Christ that he so desires. Yeah, the one body, but what does that verse say? In 1 Corinthians, I can't remember the exact verse, but where it's talking about all the different spiritual gifts, and it talks about many gifts, but one Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. You know, frequently Joseph and I hear from people, oh my gosh, if only we could see the things that you guys see overseas. I'm always uncomfortable when people say that because it's not us doing anything. We are nothing but the channels that the Lord is working through at that moment. It could be any one of you in this room. I also get frustrated when I hear, oh, why does all that stuff happen over there and it doesn't happen here? You know, I think some of it comes back to this. Functioning in that realm of fear and lack of power versus, you know what? God said that he is a God of healing, so I'm just going to pray for them and let God be God. But instead we're like, well, I might offend them. I might look stupid. What if God doesn't pull through, as if we have already judged God in his decision? You know, I love what the Africans do. Their view of praying for people is, okay, somebody is sick, so we pray for them. We pray for them until that Jesus heals them or until they die. If they die, we pray that God would resurrect them. And we pray that until the funeral. And at the funeral, if they still haven't resurrected from the dead, we bury them, give them to God, we've done everything we can, and we start on the next person. I love that because it really allows God to be God. We just become the conduits of letting God do what he wants to do. It's not up to us to decide who gets healed and who doesn't. It's not up to us to decide, well, Lord, you might want to, you might not. So do what you want to do. There's a very big difference between, Lord, you are God in this situation. You have your way in this situation, but my heart is that you would heal them.
Right.
Do you hear the difference? One is speaking with the power and knowledge of God. The other one is speaking from an absolute point of power, of powerlessness, fear, and doubt. I think you're right in that in a lot of other cultures, they are so spiritual by nature, by culture. You know, when you've got witch doctors doing all sorts of stuff, they recognize their spiritual power. They get it. And it is interesting the way that you phrased it of, oh, well, this when I came to know Jesus, I realized that he was the greater power. You'd be amazed how often we've heard that from people. You know what? I prayed and prayed and prayed in the mosque, and my God did nothing. But you prayed in the name of Jesus, and I got healed. So your God is bigger. I'm going to trust your God. So it is that display of power a lot of times that draws people to Christ, which is another reason why I do think you see more signs, wonders, miracles in some of those overseas settings, because it is a display of the one true God. However, how dare we as Americans say, well, America's just different. And I got news for you. The same God in Africa and Asia is the same God who resides here. He's the same God that is in every single one of you. And there's absolutely no reason that we shouldn't be able to lay hands on people and pray that they get well. That we shouldn't be able to, in the name of Jesus, that demonic whatever you're dealing with has to go. But we just don't. And again, I think it comes back to our lack of understanding of this Holy Spirit that is part of the Trinity. Well, and really my prayer as we go through this series is that we all kind of crumble to the ground and realize, wow, my thinking of the Holy Spirit, my thinking of this triune God has been off. Or even if it has been intellectually on, it has emotionally yes. been off, you know. And let's get realigned the way that we need to, you know. I have been seeing a chiropractor, and it's amazing to me what an adjustment will do. Speaking to the chiropractor in the room here, you know, when we are out of adjustment, everything else becomes a problem. But when we get back in line with the way that we're supposed to be, suddenly we're able to function and do things that we weren't able to do before. And I think we need to just get back in alignment with God's word on who His Holy Spirit is, what His Holy Spirit does. And over the course of these weeks, we're going to talk about how did he function in the Old Testament versus the New Testament? There are a lot of similarities. There are some huge differences. How is the Holy Spirit symbolically represented in Scripture? Because I'll tell you, when you understand some of those things, you're going to read through some passages and go, I had no idea that that was happening right there. And it's going to be a lot of fun for you. There will be other times that you'll scratch your head and you're like, I don't know if that's a symbol or not, but I'm going to look at it two different ways. You know, it's okay. But let's continue talking about the Spirit as part of the Trinity. He is an individual. That's one of the things that is so hard for us to get our minds around is, how are you individual yet also three in one? I'm not even going to try and make an analogy. It's a great mystery. Theologians have been trying to figure this out for years. I am not going to solve it for you in 10 minutes. I just can't. But let's look at how he is an individual. We already looked a little bit at Genesis 1 through 2, where it talks about the Spirit hovering over the waters, so we don't need to go over that. He's specifically mentioned as being separate. Isaiah 48:16. Now, we're actually looking at a double prophecy here. So this word of God is being spoken to Israel, yet at the same time pointing to Jesus who is yet to come. But if we look at this verse, who is come near to me? Listen to this. Who's the me in there? I would say it is Jesus, because the Lord God had sent him, and with his Spirit. Now here in one verse, we have three separate entities, yet they're all functioning together. I don't get that, but it's so cool. John 1, 33 through 34. So this is the Apostle John saying, all right, so God who sent me to baptize people in water said, whoever you see with the Spirit descending like a dove and remaining over him, that's God's chosen son. Can you imagine being John? First of all, hearing that. Okay, so I'm supposed to go out and baptize people in water. I get that. Okay, I'm serving God this way. And then God reveals to you, oh, by the way, there's going to come a day when you are going to be baptizing people and something really crazy is going to happen and I'm going to identify the Son of God, the Messiah of the world. Just put yourself in his shoes for just a second. Would you run and hide or would you keep baptizing? I think I would find the nearest cave, just being honest with you, because that's a mind-blowing thing. But again, we're seeing the three parts of one. That God, who is somewhere else, sent Jesus the Son, whom God's Spirit is going to hover over. And that's how you will know that Jesus is the Son of God. But we are filled with the Spirit, are we not? And does God not still blow our minds with some stuff? You know, like I love, and it's come up in this class, you know, the still small voice. I'll be honest, I have yet to hear that. I have yet to hear the still small voice because usually it's a 2x4 over my head that I get. It's usually very clear. I mean, there are times that I will wake up and I will tell Joseph, I have had a dream and I know that this is of God and here's what's going to happen. And then there have been other times that I'm like, well, here we go. I just know that this is going to happen. Because I've met other people that it's been the opposite for them. It started out as the 2x4 and it became more quiet and they're like, oh, I just hear a whisper and off I go. We think the Holy Spirit is our conscience. He's what? He's God, which means he's like unsearchable, so deep, so wide. Yeah, let's just not limit the Holy Spirit, period. I mean, God created us as individuals. Why would he relate to us all the same? You know, we are individuals. So we are unfortunately going to have to wrap up a little bit. I want to encourage you to take that handout. We only looked at a couple verses about God being individual versus three in one, but we've had a great discussion. We've covered a lot already. I would encourage you to take this handout, look up those verses, and then I want to start next week with just your thoughts of, okay, what stood out? Like, what was confirmed? Like, I already knew and it was a good review, but I needed to be reminded again. Or what did I completely not know at all that I know now? So that's how I want to start real quickly next week so that we can then go on to the names of the Spirit and some of his attributes, which is going to really mess with you in a good way, in a very good way. So again, if you have questions along the way, email me or call me and leave a message and I will get back to you and try to answer your questions. Or I also reserve the right to say your question will be answered in 3 weeks when we cover that topic. Fair?
Fair.
All right. Thanks, you guys.